we're a week and a half before Mountain Toro, and there's a lot to this. Those who learned Pirkei Avos with me and Rabbeinu Yonah, you saw this line already. It's a tremendous line, but it's in Pirkei Avos, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Yud Gimel. It's going on the words Udolo Mosif. If you don't add to your learning, you're constantly adding to your learning, you're safe. If you don't add to your learning constantly, then you'll be, whatever you want to translate Yosef as, you'll be cut off, you'll be destroyed, you'll be taken out. Rabbeinu Yonah says that someone who decides not to learn, if you decide, I'm not going to learn, you're nothing better than an animal. He says, nothing better than an animal. Why were you put in this world if you weren't here to learn? That's it. A person that decides not to learn when he has the ability to do so, he says, the wording is so strong. It's roi for him not to live past that day. He has the ability to learn, and he doesn't. He shouldn't even live past an hour. He had the ability to do so and didn't do so. Shouldn't even be past that. He even uses the words. I don't know the Rabbeinu Yonah well. I can't tell you that I'm one of those guys. I've done the Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos, and I've done the Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos. But I can't say that I'm one of those who've studied the words of the Rabbeinu Yonah. I don't know if he says this anywhere else. But he says, Yehi Ratzon, may it be God's will that this person should die quickly. Why should he continue to be in this world anymore? We don't need his life. We don't need anything about him. That's the wording of the Rabbeinu Yonah. Can you imagine that? Yehi Ratzon, he says. He hopes. He doesn't say Milifnei Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokeinu Hosein. He doesn't say that. Yehi Ratzon. It's the strongest wording I think I've ever seen on something like this. The wording is on the Rabbeinu Yonah. How do you do that? No. Everyone is guilty of this. Everyone except the Vilna Gaon is guilty of this. Having the ability to learn and not doing so, especially for a couple minutes, a couple seconds, I don't even understand. But days you're dealing with. So I went to a Little League game. I went to a Little League game when my kid was playing in. He's a good player. I was really impressed with him. He hasn't been able to play organized sports for 2 years now. It's been maybe even more than that. It might be 2.5 years since he's played organized sports. But he's a good player. And he got hit in the leg by a pitch, right? Now, the leg, it wasn't the leg, it was the other leg, thank God, but he got hit in the leg. So he squinched his eyes, he bit his lip, he's a year younger than everybody else there, it's fourth and fifth grade, or fifth and sixth grade, maybe he's in fifth grade, so fifth and sixth grade, and then he hustled on to first base. I ran out there, I was just like, is everything okay? Do you want a runner? Do you want me to get a runner for you? He's like, no, I'm gonna do this. Because he knew this is all part of the game. Right? You're going to get hit. Something's going to happen, and you're going to get hit a little bit. If you're hit by the ball, that's just a bruise that you can show kids in school the next day. And you can say, look what I got. You know, I got a bruise when pitcher was pitching the ball. And of course, you exaggerate a little bit. Guy was throwing 80 miles an hour, a curveball, right? And I was trying to duck out of the way, and he hit me. He didn't. He just threw it right at him, and it wasn't that hard of a pitch. But he hit him, and he hit him right there. See, when it comes to Shavuos, the Gemara talks about Rava. Right, the Gemara Shabbos on Peitas, where Rava is sitting on his fingers to the point where they were bleeding, not realizing they were bleeding because he was concentrating so hard on what he was learning at the time. He couldn't think about anything else. He couldn't think about the fact that his fingers were bleeding. How do your fingers bleed by sitting on them? You ever tried that? You ever tried making your fingers bleed? Rava's fingers are bleeding. That means he is rubbing back and forth so much he rubbed them raw on his face. There's no other way to do it. My fingers are not bleeding right now. There's nothing happening. How do you make that happen? It means he was rubbing them so badly they became raw from where they were, and he still didn't think about it, concentrating on what it was. It didn't make sense to the people around him. The people said, I'm a paziza, you're crazy people. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you do such a thing? But it's not a question if you know that this is all part of the game. If you know what the end goal is and what you want to do, right? If the end goal is to score in baseball and to be on first base in order to score, then that's what you're going for. It doesn't make a difference that you got hit. You go. If you got really hit, okay, you got to be taken out of the game. Maybe that'll be that. But these players don't want to be taken out of a game, except for maybe like Jay Cutler. Nobody wants to be taken out of a game. You want to play until you get carted off the field. That's what you have to do. So when it comes to this also, it's not a question. Rava didn't have to answer the question. If you know what you're doing, if you know what it's all about, then there's no question. You do it until even when your hands are bleeding. You do it until they cart you off. You limp over to first and try to steal second base. He did, by the way. He stole second and third. It was good. That's what you do. You have to look at what the overall goal is. So what does it mean to stay up on Shavuos night? To stay up an entire night on Shavuos night and to be able to go. The truth is, it's not that big of a deal. It's really not that big of a deal. Marav doesn't start until late. Start until late, maybe like 8:45, maybe even 8:50. You're not going to start Marav until then. So you get about 30 minutes of learning until Marav, in between Mincha and Marav. Maybe you'll get like 30 minutes of learning, and you'll get a little bit of learning there. Hopefully no schmoozing then. You'll be able to sit down at the beginning of Shavuos, you get something then. Dinner goes on. If you're eating at home or you're eating in somebody's house, maybe it'll take a little bit longer. But here, dinner is going to be until what, 11:15? You'll get until 11:15, maybe 11:30. You have a coffee break. You have a cookie break. Here, there's only cookies, nothing more. Right, it's trying to knock down your olam hazeh a little bit, right? You get drinks, you schmooze a bit, right? At the end of the day, it's really not so bad. You've stayed up until 4 o'clock before. You're going to stay up until 4 o'clock again. So here, it's just, what? It's 5 hours, 4.5 hours? Like, that's what you're dealing with? 4.5 hours that you're staying up and learning? It's nothing. It's nothing. You do, like, in the middle of the winter, when, you know, the nights are unbelievably long, and Vasikin is at, like, 7:12, right, then it's a little bit of a challenge. Then it's a real challenge. But this can't be so bad. So what's the point of tonight, of Shavuos? What are we trying to do? The point is to give up of yourself a little bit. Do something that you haven't done before. Do it in a way that makes it a little bit more difficult. I don't mean to make it an impossible task where you're pushing yourself past your limits, but do something that makes it a little more difficult. Do something that's not what you're used to doing, and that's what makes it a real challenge. So what can be a challenge? So, I don't know. If you think that one night you can do easily, so stay up both nights. Stay up both nights. Go up the first night and stay up until as long as you can the second night. Afraid of ruining your sleep schedule for the next week of yeshiva? Shine. I hear you. You'll be fine. That's one. How about not drinking a single coffee or caffeinated drink for the night? Just having water. Having nothing else but water. Making sure you don't have it. No caffeine pills, no anything like that. And trying to keep yourself awake. Now again, that might not be a possibility for you. How about having one caffeinated drink? One drink that you have at a certain time, and you make sure that's the only drink you drink that night. Maybe something at like 2 o'clock to be able to get you for the next 2.5 hours to be able to go through it. Don't worry, you'll sleep during the haftorah of the greatest haftorah of all time, of the Kisya Kavod and the Yecheskel seeing it. You'll sleep through that. So for 2.5 hours, you go ahead and do something like that. How about standing up for an hour, making sure that you don't sit down? Because if you sit down, you know what's going to happen. You sit down in a chair, you know you're going to start the head bob, the little thing. And you'll doze off a little bit, and you're gonna lose it a little bit. Fine, that's that. How about you make sure you have no batala for 1 hour? No batala for 1 hour, meaning nobody disturbs you, nothing happens. You sit there learning with your chavrusa, and you sit there and you're not going to be batal for 1 hour whatsoever. How about working on 5 blocks and saying, I'm going to know this cold to the point you do shaklavitarya over to your chavrusa, to the other people around there. My plan with the ninth graders, we have like an hour and a half that we're going to learn together. During that hour and a half, I'm going to go over 5 blot of Gemara with them. And we're going to know the Shakla Vitaria cold. Cold. We're going to do it Baal Peh. We're going to try to say it to each other, right? Each person breaks off into a Chavrusa, and you work on it with each other. Each guy says the next point, the next point, the next point, to be able to get it down. You go over it once, and then you see. It could be Gemaras that you've done, right? The Kiyas, Be'in, whatever it is. But those are challenges. You're bringing yourself to a different place. You're allowing yourself to be something different. It's not just the usual, like, I'm staying up all night, or I'm just doing what we're supposed to do. It's about Rava. It's about putting your fingers under your legs, causing them to bleed, and not noticing, and allowing there to be a different night, this to be a completely different night. So I'm telling you, I just, from the way that I had in Eretz Yisrael, I can't, and it's really hard for me, I can't see real excuses anymore. I can't. I learned with Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel. I was able to learn with him the Chavrusa. Now, granted, it was only about a dozen times, maybe a little more than a dozen times. But I was able to sit there and learn with him. I saw what he was like. He's going through unbelievable amounts of pain. where just sitting there, you're holding the safer up for him because all he can do is lie down on a couch and he needs a Rashba at that time. So you're pulling over a Rashba. Try figuring out what he's trying to say when he says Rashba. And you have no idea what Masechta he wants a Rashba in. No idea. And he can't verbalize it. I brought out maybe 12 Rashbas until I got the right one. Right? Why would you think it would be in Chulin? It's on Rove, and I didn't know anything about Rove back then. So either way, but that, he told me, but he said it to a bunch of other people. He said he loved Torah so much, he felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Yisurin because he didn't know how to battle. Therefore, he had to get Yisurin to make it into a challenge. So he would be able to overcome that challenge and do it anyway. Like when I see him, when I remember him, and it's still vivid in my mind, watching him sway back and forth and barely be able to say the words from his mouth, and I'm sitting there like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it today. Or I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay up all night. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I can't get myself through that. Now, am I Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel? No. I am never going to be anywhere close to Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. But I can take that on my own and just say, I got to do something a little bit there. I remember telling him once that I didn't feel so well. It was something like that. And he looked at me open mouthed. It was like gape mouth. Like, do you want to go home? He said to me, and I'm just like, no, I just don't feel well. I don't want to go home. I just can't have it. Kabbalah Satorah means you're mekabel upon yourself the Torah. That means you're willing to stand by a mountain for hours on end listening to the Aseret HaDibros, listening to those Ten Commandments, and listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing what he needs to do. You're sitting there and you're accepting upon yourself a sacrifice, something that's difficult, being willing to do that. And that's what this week and a half beforehand is going to be about. Are you willing to be Mekabel Torah? You're going to want to leave at 3 o'clock. Don't. You're going to leave at 3:15. Don't. You're going to leave at 3:30. Don't. You're going to want to say to yourself, I just need a break. Don't. Push yourself. You all can do it. Every single person here can do it. But this night is given to us to be Mekabel Torah anew, to have sort of a kimu v'kiblu, that we'll, like what we've had by Purim, to have it again and again and again, and to be metaking what happened on that first night, to be metaking what we've done all year long, to be metaking everything that we've stayed up at night for, stayed up until 4 o'clock in the morning for, to be metaking for all of that. That's what you're here for. And I know everybody can do it. You've done it before. You're going to do it again. Your lives are going to be about this. But to say to yourself, I'm going to be Mekabel the Torah. I'm going to say to myself, I'm going to do something which is really hard for me to do. I'm going to do something hard. And if this is easy, something harder. Something that you're going to take upon yourself and you're going to say, this is for me. I'm going to do this. You're going to have a different appreciation for what Torah is all about after Shavuos is over. Maybe you'll find yourself in the Beis Medrash the next day. Maybe you'll find yourself in the Beis Medrash. Because, come on, how much are you going to sleep? I don't know if it's true, but I find people usually sleep more on the day of Shavuos than they would normally in a regular night. It's like, I just stayed up on, a night. It's not that big of a deal. How many hours do you get per, sleep per day? 6, 7? You get 6 or 7 hours? So you have 6 or 7 hours. Well, the day starts, you're done at what? 7 o'clock, 7:30, you're done with the day, right? So 7 o'clock, 7:30, right? And you go from 7:30, and mincha is not until 7:45. That's 12 hours. That's 7 hours of sleep. And then you have 5 hours. What are you doing for the other 5 hours? Got to eat. So you have an hour and a half, 2 hours of that. Mincha, well, mincha is 7:45. You have time. Find yourself back in the Beis Medrash. Second night. Do something for a second night. You can stay up a little bit later. You've been up a little bit more. So do that. It's such an opportunity. It's such a growth phase. And this is with a couple weeks left in this month. We only have a couple weeks left. How many weeks? 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks left, right after Shavuos is over? It's almost over. Take this time and say to yourself, this is it. This is going to be my thing. I'm going to do something awesome on this day. And make it awesome. Make it absolutely awesome. I know that everybody has the ability to do this. Make it for you. Make it yours. And be Mekabel the Torah anew. Say to yourself, this is what I want for myself. And say, this should lead into the rest of the summer. It should be awesome. We should have some awesome, awesome siyata deshmaya in what we do over Shavuos. And we should know this line of Delo Mosif Yosef. We should add on a little bit to our learning for this upcoming summer. Shkoyach, everybody.